While this is loading, first up we have Leslie Ann Helms from, I was going to say the Virginia Department of Health, where she used to be, and where I first knew her from and worked very closely with her on many CSTE-related projects, and she is now luckily at CDC helping all of us with the NEDS Modernization Initiative and really understands state perspectives and has been just a wonderful resource for all of us. So, Leslie?
So I am going to talk about the NNDSS Modernization Initiative. I understand that most of you probably know exactly what that is, but I do have a couple slides at the beginning that are introduction just for the people who aren't familiar with it. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the key progress we've made this year and then where we're kind of going and what you should expect. It feels like we're really at a point where we've gotten some momentum. We're pleased to see that. We've appreciated all of you helping us get to this point, but I want to let you know it's coming. So as you're aware, NMI is an effort to update how we get the notifiable disease data to CDC. We hope we can give more complete data in a more timely way to the programs. It hopefully will allow us to retire some old legacy software that is difficult to maintain. We hope we also are going to be making things easier for you. There's certainly a hurdle anytime you're changing things, but our intent is that we give you a better way to get your data to CDC. There are three key components to NMI. The first one is the development of the message mapping guides, and that's the instructions for how you send the data to CDC. The second one is the message validation processing and provisioning system. That's the software we use when the data comes into CDC to process it and to deliver it to the programs or make it available to them. The third key component is technical assistance, and this is the help for you folks in the state jurisdictions and the local jurisdictions who are putting together the messages and sending the data to us. There are two other components that aren't as formally part of the NMI. One of those is the NEDS-based system. This is an integrated surveillance system that CDC has developed and makes available to the states who want to use it. So it is part of one of the systems that sends this data to CDC. The other component is the team that works with the data to produce what we've historically called the MMWR statistics. We're really trying to emphasize them more as NNDSS statistics because we are trying to transition away from publishing in MMWR, and I'll talk a little bit more about that at the very end of the presentation. So this is some of our success that we're celebrating. We now have 10 states who are actively sending production data to us every week. Those are the states you can see in green. We have MVPS, the software processing the generic and hepatitis data. You may be aware that the arboviral data is going through our legacy, one of the legacy systems. We tried to get it working and in place quickly to handle Zika data, and so we stuck with one of the older routes rather than building it into the new system. And then we are piloting the STD and congenital message mapping guides so that we can implement those later in the year. So we've got some states working with us, and the software is being built, and we're making progress on that. These are a couple of the successes we've had this year, and I want to run through a number of them. We did make some updates to the STD and congenital syphilis guide before we turned it over for piloting and development. We really used information we had learned from working on the generic version 2 and the hepatitis guides and incorporated some of those changes. So one is that we put in an interpretive lab block. It's simpler than the lab template we were using that was very ELR-oriented. So this is a more straightforward, more simplistic way to transmit lab data with the message mapping guides. We also replaced what we had been calling value set-driven concepts. It was a complex way. We had hoped it would be an easy way to communicate the values of data, but we found it was really complicated for people to understand and to build, so we have changed that to some repeating groups, and that will be in the guides going forward. One of the other things we did was we looked at the lab data elements that we were requesting and evaluated whether it would allow us to receive and for you to send data that was needed for antibiotic resistance findings, because that certainly is one of the directions we're going. We wanted to make sure that capability was in place. We did make a few tweaks. We found most of the capability was there. We made some tweaks, and we've incorporated that. We've done some real coordination this year between a number of the vaccine preventable disease message mapping guides. We had worked on them over time, done a lot of effort putting them together, and thinking had changed and evolved over time. So we did some coordination to make sure they were all on the same page and would have a similar look and feel when you worked on them. And the reusable blocks and templates that we're using within those, we expect to be using with all the future guides going forward. One of the things I think that should be very helpful to you is work we've done on the foodborne and diarrheal disease message mapping guide. This takes the data elements that are needed for notifiable diseases, but it also takes the data elements that are needed for FoodNet, and it puts them into one message. So a FoodNet state can send all the data on a case in one message, and we'll give the right data to NNDSS, and the data that needs to go to FoodNet will get to them. For people who are just doing NNDSS, you just ignore all those FoodNet data elements, don't need to pay attention to them, don't need to pack any data in there, but you send the same message to us in the same place, and we'll get it to the right place. You can see the conditions that we're working on here that we're including in this first version of the message. A couple of footnotes on it, because we're making progress as we go on this. With listeriosis, initially we will not be able to replace the faxed form. So if you're doing NNDSS, we'll still have to have you fax the form, but we hope we will come out with a kind of an addendum to this, an extra tab in the guide that will let you add that in, and will eliminate the need for the listeriosis faxed form. We are including paratyphoid fever. We know that that's coming in now as just a salmonellosis, and we're thinking about whether we need to add an event code to distinguish that. Yersiniosis is a FoodNet condition, but not an NNDSS condition, so we wouldn't expect it from the NNDSS states. But we hope this gets away from the forms you've got to fax for the foodborne diseases and the Excel uploads to FoodNet. So hopefully this will be a good help for you guys. We think we're going to use a similar type strategy for the ABC, the active bacterial core diseases, and take a similar approach. One of the other things we did was we worked with NIOSH and put together a industry and occupation template. We got some input from some of the programs who also use this data. Sandy Rausch and the NCIRD folks were helped. The babesiosis folks were actively involved. What we were hearing with the electronic health records was, hey, you know, nobody uses occupation industry. Why should we capture it? But public health really does need to see that data. And the more we're looking at it, the more we find places where we need to be aware of occupation and industry. So this is a way in the message mapping guide where you can capture it in text, you can send it in free text. But we are encouraging you to take that free text and run it through the NIOX tool that NIOSH has developed and get coded standardized values. You can then use those for analysis, and it will help the programs here and NIOSH to be able to do analysis using more standardized approaches to it. We are going to put this into the disease-specific guides as we go forward. When we come to revising the generic version 2 guide, which has all the kind of core data elements, and come up with a generic version 3, we expect to take what we've learned from people using the occupation and industry data and put maybe a more updated, tweaked, refined version into our generic data elements. So it will become part of the generic stuff, but right now it's just going to be disease specific. We are updating our software, and like many of you who have worked with software, you start out, you've got best intentions, and as you go, you learn a lot. So we are doing an update to MVPS, and we are calling it MVPS-U to indicate that it's an update. We think that this is going to make or allow us to have it be have more reusable components in it, make it more flexible. We got rid of some software that was giving us some challenges. We hope it's going to enable us to implement the message mapping guides more quickly. So we think that that's going to be a real step forward for us, and hopefully it will serve you well. You may have noticed this year with the NNDSS reconciliation, the end of year data reconciliation, that you got your information in Excel files. And that was an innovation and an effort by our team who generates that weekly data and does the annual reconciliation based on the feedback we got to give you data in a way that might be more useful to you. So we hope you found that was helpful. And we will look as we go forward for other ways that we can help make the reconciliation easier. We have been using a more integrated project plan, and we're really using it with the guides as we go forward. But we hope that that's going to help us balance our resources, manage our project better. And so this is where we're going and what you can expect. With generic version 2 and hepatitis, we are going to be migrating those to the updated software, to MVPS-U this summer. That will probably be completely transparent to you.
but it is something that we have on our timeline.
We expect to be ready to receive STD and congenital syphilis data in October. So we'll start with the pilot states who are helping us pilot the guide and then encourage others of you to begin sending it using this new message. The STD program is really interested and excited to get the data in this format. We know it will help some of you retire older systems. We expect to be ready to receive mumps and pertussis at the end of the year, around December, and it probably will be really the end of the year. We're thinking that holiday week is probably when we'll put the software into production. So you probably won't be sending it till the beginning of the next year, but we would really like to get it into place this year. We've kind of set that as a target for ourselves. We think that varicella will be ready in early February, so that'll be another disease to add. The foodborne and diarrheal disease message mapping guide is kind of on a different schedule. We're implementing it in a little bit different way. So we anticipate that we will probably start to implement that this fall, probably starting with the FoodNet states and then opening it up to the other states who are interested to start with that. And we are continuing to work on the other message mapping guides. We keep getting requests from programs who are interested in adding or updating or working with us. And so we're working on the ones we've got in process, and then we'll add some others. And then this is something else I want to mention. We are doing a transition with the NNDSS data going from publishing in MMWR to publishing primarily in Wonder and also using the data.gov, the CDC data.gov. This is in response to a number of things. Part of it is a change in the way MMWR is approaching what they do. They would really like to focus more on the scientific articles and the scientific meaning your scientific information, and get away from the kind of the descriptive epi and the standardized reports. We also think if we have the data in Wonder, we can be more timely with it. We can potentially get to the point where we've got more flexibility. We're not limited by a paper-type format, but can go to some other types of tools. And we're going to take all the documentation and put it onto the NNDSS page so that it's easily accessible there. So this is kind of the timeline associated with this. The annual data, which is finalized statistics, we will publish the last version of the report that has the analysis in it with the 2015 data sometime this fall, but then we are going to start to publish the 2016 data in Wonder. We're going to get away from the analytic part of it. This, we think, is going to save us 9 to 12 months in getting that finalized data out and the finalized numbers and statistics there. So we think that's a real positive. So probably we're expecting at the end of October we will put out this annual data. We will have the infectious data in tables similar to what you're seeing now in MMWR, and then we will have links to the non-infectious data that the programs publish during the year. The weekly data is our provisional data. It's quarterly for TB, but weekly for the other diseases. We're transitioning that publication this fall. So we're going to start to put it into the new format in Wonder, probably end of October, beginning of November, but it will continue to be published in MMWR through the end of the calendar year so that we've got the complete year in Wonder. And then our long-term plan is to go to a more interactive way to make the data available so that people can go in and do a query. We are very sensitive to the cell size issue and making sure that there's not, you know, data out there that would be, you know, conflicting with your data release policies. We really do anticipate that it'll probably be similar to what we've got now, but maybe enhanced a little bit and allowing people to pull together what they want to see. So we expect to work with the CDC programs and with representation of people from the states and jurisdictions, very likely facilitated by CSTE, to figure out what is appropriate, what kinds of analysis you'd like there, and how we keep the data at a level that you're comfortable with. So those are the key things that we've got going on. The slides are loaded, and we did put contact information here at the end, so you can get in touch with us when you want to.